Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. We're continuing our discussion on end times, yes. And we sent out a survey last week, and quite a number of people have responded to it. I think it's well over 200. Yesterday, we went over some of the results of that, yep. And I thought that was the results were very encouraging. Our listeners know who they are in Christ. They don't really have a fear of the future. They have some questions about some of the end times teachings that are going on out there in Christendom, as all of us do. I think it's one of the most confusing subjects out there today. Why? Because there's so many varying viewpoints. I mean, there are folks that say it's already happened. You know, Jesus has already returned. Those are the full-blown preterists. That's their viewpoint. There's others that say it's just this ever-cycling reality throughout history, that in every age we're going to see parts of the story happening. And then there's the futurists that believe that it's all, you know, up ahead, and they feel like maybe the future is now with some of the current events. And so there's all kinds of different viewpoints, and which one is right, how do we know, and that sort of thing. And we get hung up in our abilities to explain the way it's going to happen or the way it has happened. And oftentimes we simply miss Jesus.
Yes.
And when we get back down to it, get back down to basics, you know, what is the essential truth that's being communicated from beginning and end of the scripture? It's Jesus. The word of God is God's testimony concerning his son. And so as far as the future is concerned, revelation is concerned, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, isn't it, Richard?
Yes, yes. And honestly, when I finally learned that, and I didn't learn it on my own, somebody else had to point it out to me. I was that dense. They said, well, just look at the beginning, the revelation of Jesus Christ. You go, oh, you know, one of those hands on the forehead kind of moments. And when that dawned on me, life changed. I didn't have to have answers. I didn't have to know something that somebody else didn't know. I knew Jesus, and I know that he knows me. He lives inside of me via the Holy Spirit. I think, given those facts, I can trust him with the future.
Yes.
You know, what comes, comes. But I know one of the things that's coming is Jesus. That's all I need to know. That doesn't mean I don't look at anything, that I stick my head in the sand, but I don't get the, my favorite phrase, I don't get wrapped around the axle on this stuff anymore.
Right.
I don't care. You can believe whatever you want to believe, as long as you believe Jesus. Because Jesus calms the waters.
Yes.
Puts oil on the water. It's more than that. Jesus shows up in your life and says, peace, be still.
Yes. And you experience peace.
Yes.
You know, if you think about the future, you think about all the scary events that the future might hold. You think about the coming judgment.
Yeah.
You think about those movies that you watched as a kid about being left behind and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You can get the heebie-jeebies and just be scared just out of your mind. But when you look at Jesus, when you look to Christ, he calms the waters. He calms the troubled soul. And how does he do that? Well, by what he accomplished for us in when he came
the first
time to begin with,
yes.
In his death, burial, and resurrection. Our hope is secure because of what he accomplished through that incredible work. There's nothing for us to fear. In that work, he demonstrated the love of Christ.
Yes.
That love of Christ cast out all fear.
Yes.
So we have nothing to worry about. We just have just this bright, bright future, this bright eternity in the presence of God and him in our presence. That's, you know, that's the final picture in Revelation, this new Jerusalem coming down. Mm-hmm. It's the dwelling place of the people of God with Christ in the middle. It says we don't even need a lamp. Why?
Yeah.
Because Jesus Christ is that lamp, and we have the light of God, that's just how wonderful it's going to be. And so we see where heaven and earth have come together as one, just as Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer, right?
Yes, exactly.
Earth, as it is in heaven. Well, that's going to be a time in the future. We're going to be revealed with Jesus as the children of God, of those who have been connected with him. And we're going to enjoy his presence with ever. That is such good news.
Yes.
And that's what we never need to lose focus on. And that's why it's so important that when you hear these various teachings out there that start to stir up fear, start to stir up doubt, start to stir up those sort of things, step back and say, let me get refocused on Jesus Christ. One of those teachings that is out there now is, what may or may not happen tomorrow, September 23rd, 2017.
Yeah.
There's a sign in the sky. The sun is going to be in the constellation Virgo, and there's going to be 12 planets and stars surrounding it. And so folks are asking the question, could this be? I mean, could it possibly be the fulfillment of Revelation 12 verses 1 through 6? And the answer is no, it is not the fulfillment of that. Why? Because Revelation 12, 1 through 6 has already been fulfilled when Jesus was born into this world, and then when he ascended and took his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father. That's a vision of what happened way back then.
Yes.
So, no, it's not talking about a future event. Yet all these folks are getting caught up on tomorrow. Could this be that the Lord's coming back? Could this be the end of times? As a matter of fact, Fox News published an article by Billy Holloway, and the headline is, Could the World Come to an End? And the content of this particular article all revolves around the speculation, and that's what it is.
Yeah, speculation.
Speculation concerning September 23rd, 2017, the fact that the planets and the stars and moons are lining up, that it fits what Revelation 12 talks about. And here's what it says. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. They're saying, wow, that's going to be tomorrow. That's happening tomorrow. So goodness sakes, that's going to be a sign of the end. Be prepared. Be ready. Well, they don't read the rest of it. It just makes me, just ill, angered. That they don't, and they speculate, and they put fear in so many people's hearts. Fear is not of God. It never has been of God.
Correct.
God always brings comfort and assurance to the human heart. That's what he does when he showed up in Abraham's life. Can you imagine the God of this universe just out of nowhere appearing? You'd be shaking in your boots, just ready to die at any given moment.
Yeah.
But yet, what did God bring to Abraham? Promise and blessing. Promise and blessing.
Yeah.
What does he bring to us when we encounter the God of this universe in the person of Christ Jesus? Promise and blessing.
Exactly.
What does he give us as far as our future is concerned? Promise and blessing. So anyone that is trying to stir the pot of fear within your heart, they're not giving you godly stuff. That is not of God. God is not the author of fear. His perfect love cast out all fear. So what is this about? It says she was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains in the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. And his tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. That's the demonic angels.
Yeah.
And he says, and the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. Was Satan anxious for Jesus to be born into this world?
Oh, yeah. He wanted to kill him right on the spot.
Right. He was ready to take him and destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been ready to pounce since the very beginning of time. We see that in Genesis chapter 3, that this child is going to bruise or destroy Satan, but he's going to bruise his heel. We see that. And so that's been part of Satan's plan all along. And we see that here, that he was hovering at the birth of Christ. Why? Yeah. Because he wanted to destroy Jesus and destroy all hope for mankind.
Yes.
But God was not going to let that happen, and it didn't happen. So what is this passage of Scripture about? It's about the birth of Jesus. And the fact that he is now at the right hand of God the Father, and that's exactly what he was, and the persecution that early church was going to face at the hand of the Roman Empire.
Yes.
That's what this is all about. We try to complicate it. We try to say, could this be? Could this be? I've been a guest host or a co-host on the program To Every Man an Answer for the month of August and a few days in September. And I can't tell you the number of questions we got during those 6 or 7 broadcasts that I was on about this very thing.
Yeah.
People were scared to death thinking, oh, my goodness, could this be the end of the world as we know it? Folks, just read the Bible.
Yes.
And ask the Spirit of God to reveal to you truth. And that truth will set you free. You will realize this is a revelation about the birth of Jesus Christ, how it happened, and the spiritual activity that was happening around it. We read the beautiful story of the birth of Christ in
yes.
Matthew and Luke, and there's something romantic about it, a starry, cold night in a manger, and shepherds and sheep and all of this, and we build our nativity scenes, and there's something idyllic about that. Mm-hmm. And yet there was something dark and gruesome happening at the same time.
Yes.
Satan hovering, demonic forces hovering, ready to snatch that babe up and do with it what it would, so it would end the plan of God for mankind. But it didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
It did
it couldn't
not,
happen.
It couldn't happen. It would have never happened.
No.
And at the end, Satan is just going to be a whimpering little created being of no power, of nothing. Jesus speaks, it's done, isn't it?
Yeah, if you want to know how powerful Satan is, when it's all said and done, Jesus doesn't waste 1 second with him. He sends another angel down to throw him into the lake of fire. Jesus never deals with him.
Right.
He's not worth dealing with.
No.
Now, we have talked a lot during the hard passages sessions about context and what's happening, all of this falderal about tomorrow, the 23rd, is a classic example of context being missed. If you're willing to go into Revelation and look at this, at the end of chapter 11, the seventh trumpet sounds. And then nothing happens because God says, time out. I need to do something here. I need John to understand. Therefore, he needs us to understand. And in 12 and 13 and 14, there are these scenarios that are painted. And I call it salvation history, but history in quotes, because the time is very fluid. We're dealing with eternity and spiritual realities here. But if you look at all of these things together, then you see that what he's telling John is there is nothing to fear, even though the seven last bowls, which are part of the seventh trumpet, are coming, and these are the final judgments of God. Fear not. That's what this whole thing is about. Instead of going, well, here's the trumpet, and here's the final judgments, and good luck, he's got enough love for his children to say, this kind of stuff has been going on for a long time. I've been in charge the whole time. Satan is not going to harm you eternally. Yes, he might kill you. Big whoop. Then you're absent from the body and present with the Lord. Regardless of what happens to you on earth in this time, I'm in charge, I'm coming back, and I'm going to fix this.
Right. And we're going to be with him forever.
Forever.
Regardless of how we die here on earth, we're going to be with the Lord forever. And that's the good news. That's our hope.
Yes.
And with that hope, we have absolutely nothing to fear.
Correct.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. We sure appreciate you tuning in, joining us on today's broadcast. We're talking about end times. For those of you who are living in the Waco Temple area, I will be at the Real Life Bible Church in Temple this Sunday. I hope many of you will come and join us. I've gotten a number of emails saying, hey, we're going to be there. So I'm looking forward to meeting quite a number of you this Sunday. The service is at 10:45 in the morning. You can go to our Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/basicgospel. Just click the events tab, and you can get all the information, address, and everything. So come join us, 10:45. Also, to those who are new, maybe you've just tuned in to the Basic Gospel broadcast here of late, we would love to let you know a little bit more about us and what we teach. I've written a book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Yeah. It is a wonderful starting place. It's a great book if you're new in Christ. It's a great book if you've been, if you're a seasoned believer, just getting back to the basics and recognizing this new life we have in Christ, the total forgiveness that we have in Christ, and the freedom that we have in Christ because of his death, burial, and resurrection. That book is right on our homepage up in the upper right-hand corner. You can click that and find out how you can purchase a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
A little, just some nice words about that. I'm meeting with a guy once a week. We're studying biblical issues, and he got a copy of your book and was reading just a preface just this week. And he came to me and he said, I read this phrase in the preface. It says, the Bible never says, try harder. He says, is that true? Already life change.
Yes.
Because of the good news in that book.
Yeah.
Awesome conversation today.
Well, that's wonderful, and that's true. That phrase isn't there.
It's not there.
You know, there's a song out there that talks about we need to try harder, and it's a Christian song. It's like, gosh, you've just missed the message of the gospel.
Completely.
It's never try harder. It's trust. It's by grace through faith in Jesus, and that's what Simple Gospel, Simply Grace is all about. And we would love to put a copy of that book in your hands. It's wonderful as far as your personal journey with Christ.
Yeah.
Also a great tool that you can share with others. Again, all the information on how to purchase that is right there on our homepage, top right-hand corner, basicgospel.net. Just click the icon, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and follow the instructions on how you can get a copy of that. I want to share a comment that came in through our survey. We did send out a survey, an end-time survey, and we've been talking a little bit about the results of that. But Jennifer wrote this in the question and comment section, and she says this, when I was in the first grade, my mother was late picking me up from school. I heard an airplane fly overhead and put those two things together, the rapture of Jesus Christ and the fact that she was now left behind and her mom was not there to pick her up, concluding the rapture had occurred and that Jesus left me behind. I crawled under my desk and the teacher was unable to coax me out. Today, I know I am saved, a child of God, and that this identity will never change. I have peace about end times, and I'm looking forward to it. Only lately has God clarified to me what the return of Jesus will mean to me and those who have passed away in Christ. For some reason, I couldn't understand the hope of our new bodies, but honestly, I didn't care all that much. I just knew I would be all right. Now I get it. I understand that our bodies will be saved, and the soul-spirit-body dynamic is clear to me. And then she makes a little parenthesis, and she says, thanks in part to Clay in Texas, who calls the broadcast. And I'm looking forward. Clay is going to be there this Sunday.
Ah,
I'm looking
terrific.
Forward to meeting him in person. But Clay, if you're listening, you had a wonderful influence on Jennifer, as she listened to some of the questions that you brought to the table here at Basic Gospel. And she goes on to say, I think this is a source of misunderstanding and error for a lot of people that can keep them in bondage to fear. I am happy I can now potentially help others with this. Thanks for your program. And she said, I was saved in my car listening to it. So much love from Jennifer and much love back to Jennifer from us. And this is what we're talking about, folks, when we're talking about the fact that we need to focus on Jesus at all times. We need to focus on Jesus as far as our past is concerned. There are so many people that live in guilt and shame over their past. Why? Because they've never viewed their past through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Once they realize that he took away all of their sins and that they have forgiveness in Christ, then their heart can be at rest over what they've done. They no longer identify themselves with what happened back then, but they're now identifying themselves with what Jesus accomplished for them through his death, burial,
yes,
and resurrection. So we put on the lens of Jesus, the glasses of Jesus, to look at our past. We do so to look at our present. Mm-hmm. Whatever comes our way today, Jesus is right there with us. He is in our present. He was not just a historical figure. Remember, he was raised from the dead. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. But he has come to live inside of us spiritually through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So Christ in us is our hope of glory. And so whatever situation that we're facing today, whatever life is throwing our way today, there's no need to worry. Why? No. Because we have the God who spoke the universe into being just by saying something, living inside of us. If he can do that, he can conquer any problem that we have,
yes,
today. So we can trust him today. And we put on the same lens of Jesus to look to our future. He is already seated at the right hand of God the Father. And as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, we're seated with him in the heavenly places.
Yes.
We're already there based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. So our future is guaranteed. We've already been marked out. And as these events unfold in human history, God is going to take care of us at the proper time, at the proper moment in Christ.
Yes.
So we have absolutely nothing to fear. And that's why we need to look at all things through the lens of Jesus Christ. We just have a couple of moments. So let's end with this question, Richard. Why do some evangelists spend so much time on this particular subject? Why is there such a fascination about end times?
Because this is my rather jaded opinion, because I was one of these. Because it's so easy to scare people into church, right? I give a sermon, I talk about the evils in the world, and I look out at my audience and I say, some of you are doing this too. And don't you realize that Jesus is coming back, and if you don't get your sins forgiven, you're going to hell. That's what passes for evangelism.
Yes.
But it works. Thousands of people come in. Or they talk about end times as the final party, and now we're going to get all of the money and all the rewards and all of that. Both of those are false. Mm-hmm. If we would just focus on Jesus and what he accomplished, we would see life change and people coming into the body of Christ in the right way.
Right.
Rather than being scared in or bribed in or anything else. It's just Jesus. He's powerful enough. We don't need to gild that lily.
Yes. So we use it to scare people in. We can use the prosperity gospel,
yep,
to greed people in. So you look at the stock market. What compels the stock market? What moves it up? What moves it down? The fear and greed,
yes,
inherent in people. Mm-hmm. If people get afraid that their money is going to be gone, they make a run. They start selling, and stock prices,
yep,
go down. If they feel like, things are, the bulls are running, their greed,
yeah,
gets in, and boy, they're just throwing money in the stock market like crazy. And a lot of times we try to tap into fear and greed as far as our presentation of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Well, we have something better than that. We have truth, truth that transcends,
yes,
truth that sets us free, truth that calms a restless heart and gives us peace in the midst of a storm. And that truth is found in Jesus. And so Jesus is the one God sent for us so that we could have life everlasting in him. And that is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. End times is fascinating, but something more compelling is Jesus Christ himself.
Yes.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher along with Richard Pfeiffer. Thanks to all of our team here at Basic Gospel that helps get this out,
absolutely,
on the air. And thanks to you, our supporters, who contribute to make this possible. We'll see you again on Monday. Have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus.